You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford, who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
216-474-0092. Let me get to, do we got him? All right, let's bring in Daryl Rutter. He's brought to you by Chauvin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Good morning, guys.
Wonderful to talk to you. All right, what'd you think of Shador?
I thought it was pretty good.
Definitely, all right, end of interview.
What's that?
Nothing. Go ahead. Continue.
I think he deserves a little longer look after that performance. I mean, if he's able to do that with as little opportunity as he's gotten to camp to date, I'm almost excited to see what he can do with even more opportunity.
Where is he on your depth chart now?
I have him third.
Aww. Who's ahead?
Hey, that's moving on up in the world.
I'm sticking with the two veterans because, look, I mean, as good as Shador was, he's not ready yet. But I do think that he should leapfrog Dylan Gabriel. So I've got Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Shador, and then Dylan Gabriel.
You said not ready yet. Not ready for what?
Not ready to start regular season.
Oh, like, okay, regular season.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, there's some things that still need to be cleaned up in his game, but the way he handled and was successful in just about every situation that was thrown at him was really impressive. The way he was able to make plays, extending plays, 9 offensive possessions, 3 touchdowns, good results there. Had a nice 3rd-and-9 conversion on a 10-yard run. Moved the pocket, threw on target, threw receivers open. The only thing that concerned me about that performance the other night was he had a couple of situations where he turned his back to the line of scrimmage and was running for his life. And I think in a real live NFL game, those are like 30-yard losses, and that's not good. So that is a habit that they're going to have to, break. But just overall, I thought he did a really, really good job and is deserving of some more reps here in camp.
Daryl Rutter with us. So what do you think it means for this week? I thought all along, like, it was Flacco's week last week with Carolina. I thought this was going to be the week of Kenny Pickett. But, we heard Joe Thomas on the broadcast, and we're going to hear more today from Kevin Stefanski live at 9 o'clock right here on The Fan, that, he could be out another week and a half, Kenny Pickett. So how does this work? Because you're also trying to get these guys ready for actual football, and this is a huge, huge week for this team.
Well, I think it's a huge week for Dylan Gabriel. He's got to get healthy, first and foremost. And then if he is able to be healthy, he's going to have to go out there and perform, which he's not done to this point. So he's going to have to go out there and perform and show everybody why the front office won't shut up about how great he is. Even though, again, we don't see it on the practice field, but that's all we hear is just how great this guy is. So it would be nice to actually get tangible evidence instead of from the ears with the eyeballs. So this is a big week for Dylan Gabriel, in my view. The pressure now is on because Shador, getting the limited work that he got, was able to do that. And Dylan Gabriel's first up in 11-on-11 pretty much on a regular basis, with the rare exception of little Joe Flacco getting sprinkled in here and there. Dylan's got to show out this week, in my view, if he's healthy, and especially Saturday in that preseason game against the Eagles. He's got to play. He's got to play just as well, if not better, in my view, than Shador.
Oh, I totally agree. Daryl Ryder joining us here on the show because it's where we're headed on this. Like, I keep saying, like, guys, we're not out of the woods. We're just stepping in him because if he goes out there and he does not play well, talking about Dylan Gabriel against Philadelphia. And say Shador gets time and he does actually play well against Philadelphia. I don't care if it's against ones, twos, 13s, doesn't matter. If Dylan Gabriel is still ahead, there's going to be more questions asked about the Browns than just a couple.
Well, we'll know the answer, though. It's draft position bias from the organization. And we've seen that. I mean, that is in Andrew Berry's history here. He does not like cutting and demoting his own draft picks and unless he just... it gets to a point where he just absolutely has to give up on him. So you're right. If you have Shador continuing to outperform Dylan Gabriel and you continue to cram Dylan Gabriel down our throats, that's just not the right way to go about things. And then that just tells me that your evaluation process is biased.
Well, I would look at it too, and I would say, like, hey, if you want to leave Dylan Gabriel on the roster, like, because Shador's playing well enough in this game, where I'm going, all right, one of the other two guys are trade commodity. If you can get anything, I don't know how much you're getting. Like, again, anybody who gets a quarterback injured, are they just running to their phones? They have to have Kenny Pickett or Dylan Gabriel. I don't think that's happening.
No.
But do any of them become currency? And I don't know if you would just give up on a Dylan Gabriel now. And I'm like, okay, well, he could be the third team quarterback. Because if Shador continues to show anything like he did on Friday, I'm like, hey, he's next man up after Joe Flacco to me. I don't want to waste any time. I want to go with the guy who has the higher ceiling there. I haven't seen what Dylan Gabriel can provide, but I just keep hearing from you guys how bad he's been, not just you. Every single writer who's out there saying, like, boy, he looks lost. They keep saying he's really, really good. So I can see a fight getting ready to happen sometime next week if he goes out there and he plays poorly.
Well, here's the other challenge for the Browns right now when you're talking about having extra in that quarterback room, Ken. They need the extra. Like it on average, the Cleveland Browns need three quarterbacks to get through a season. That's on average, okay? In the last 2 years, they needed four and five quarterbacks just to get through the schedule. So I'm not in, and because of the value or my perceived lack of value, and this isn't a shot at Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco, just I don't think there's a lot of value, trade value with them right now as we speak. That's subject to change with whatever may happen around the league in the coming weeks. But like right now, there's no value there. I don't think anyone is blowing Andrew Berry's phone up saying we got to have Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco right now. And that's fine. So I think it's actually smart if the Browns keep all four of these quarterbacks, because my fear is they're going to need them. I don't think Joe Flacco plays all 17 games this year. I don't think Kenny Pickett's going to play all 17 games this year. And certainly the rookies are not going to play all 17 games this year. So there's no urgency from my standpoint to pare down that room. Leave the four guys in there. That's fine. You'll waive Tyler Huntley as soon as Pickett and Gabriel are healthy enough, right? You'll go ahead because that's the reason they brought him in, was to get them through whatever preseason and camp time they needed while both of those guys dealt with their hamstring injuries. But as soon as those two get healthy, you go into the regular season with all four. You either sacrifice a linebacker, someone in the secondary. I think the smart move would be, instead of six receivers, you keep five to make the accommodation for the extra quarterback, the fourth quarterback. Because, first of all, the receiver room is not that good. It's not that deep. You're not going to stack it at the waiver wire, okay? There's nobody that's going to get waived around the NFL that's going to come in here and be wide receiver number one and lead this team to the Super Bowl. That just isn't going to happen, okay? So I think receiver is the perfect spot because you're going back to 12 personnel this year in the two tight end sets. I think receiver is the perfect room because of the lack of depth there to go ahead and sacrifice that one roster spot.
Was there anybody that disappointed you in that game Friday night?
No, I thought Mason Graham was really good. I thought Carson Schlesinger was really good. If you're looking for a disappointment, Anthony, for me it was that Luke Florio suffered a hamstring injury.
Yeah.
He has had a tremendous camp. He played really well Friday night. I mean, that extended catch there up the near sideline on the throw from Shador was a thing of beauty. So that's my disappointment, that he got hurt. And while I believe him and LeVarden, they are long shots to make this team. I think they're both practice squad candidates and potential to be game day elevations at some point throughout the season. I think that, you know, it is a little disappointing that he got banged up because things were going so well for him during this camp and preseason.
Were you surprised that Samson only carried it twice?
Yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise, but I never really viewed him as a the bell cow back with the current situation with Judkins legal and league troubles right now hovering over him. I mean, running back one is going to be Jerome Ford. There's no question about that. The key is they got to keep Jerome healthy. I'm interested where Pierre Strong is going to fit in to this equation. I'm also curious that when we get to the cutdowns, you know, does Andrew Berry look outside the organization for that third running back? You know, right now I'm asking, is the third running back even on this roster right now? I don't know. And there's certainly a couple of weeks here to sort that all out. But of the things that need sorted out outside the quarterback position, Anthony, I think third running back is definitely one of them.
Darryl Ryder joining us. Do you know anything about Zach Zinter?
No.
And his status?
I'm sure, come up this morning with Coach.
All right, because like somebody asked me, I was like, I have no idea. I didn't know he was either banged up or whatever it was.
We will ask. We can't control the answer we get, but we will ask.
Clearly, you know that. because we'll get the next chance to talk to you on Friday, do you think that they're looking for in the Philadelphia joint practices?
It's for the starters, Ken. That's where the starters are all going to get their work. So I anticipate a lot of Joe Flacco in Philadelphia in the first team offense. That's how Kevin likes to do these joint practices, especially the multiple day joint practices. And then the preseason game will be for the folks that are vying for roster spots and the rookie class.
Daryl, we started the show with John Middlecoff on a podcast with Colin Cowherd saying, here comes the circus. And what he meant by that was, now the fans are all going to be behind Shador, the national talking heads, and then the grifters. Everybody is going to be talking Shador this week. How do you think the Browns will handle that? Because Stefanski is going to get a bunch of questions today about Shador. And in reality, right. I mean, he started that game as fourth on the depth chart.
Right. That's fine. I thought you guys started the show with Super Bowl Super Browns.
We did. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to be factually accurate here.
Technically, does the show start right after the music stops? Because Owen had the clip of the circus in the open.
Everything I did, Daryl.
You know what? I'm sorry, Owen. I feel awful about that. But for me, the show starts with the open. So.
So not worried about the circus, though?
No, because I don't think that there's going to be a media circus,
A media circus.
No, hang on.
This something to see.
Not today in Berea. I don't think the national media is descending upon Berea today. They might descend upon Philadelphia later this week. But I don't think that the Browns are going to be too caught up in the external with Shador. They certainly have not been to this point. Because if they were, he wouldn't be the fourth quarterback on the depth chart right now. So I don't think it affects them or their decision-making process. It will help them sell jerseys, and I'm sure that there are folks over at 76 Lou Groza Boulevard very happy to see number 12 jerseys fly off the shelves.
Dale, I'm just thrilled, and I'm so thankful that the Browns set him free because he was a hostage going into the weekend, according to Hugh Douglas.
That's what you think, Lima. We'll find out today if he's really, truly been set free.
I don't know what kind of negotiation was going on behind the scenes.
We'll see if he starts blanking in Morse code the next interview he does. Then we'll get it figured out. Lord.
Well, I'm sure the next time we see him on the sideline, he'll at least be wearing a Browns hat.
My dad, by the way, is cussing me out right now over the Browns.
Is he? What did you do? You didn't do anything. You're not making any decisions.
He's losing his mind. My dad is losing his mind. I told my dad would hate the show if it weren't for me. My dad hates all radio show hosts, and my phone just keeps lighting up, and it's just my dad. All right, you want me to read my dad's text when we come back? All right, Daryl, thank you very much for the time.
You bet, guys. Have a great week.
216-474-0092. Let me get to, do we got him? All right, let's bring in Daryl Rutter. He's brought to you by Schaben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Good morning, guys.
Wonderful to talk to you. All right, what'd you think of Shador?
I thought it was pretty good.
Definitely, all right, end of interview.
What's that?
Nothing. Go ahead. Continue.
I think he deserves a little longer look after that performance. I mean, if he's able to do that with as little opportunity as he's gotten to camp to date, I'm almost excited to see what he can do with even more opportunity.
Where is he on your depth chart now?
I have him third.
Aww. Who's ahead?
Hey, that's moving on up in the world.
I'm sticking with the two veterans because, look, I mean, as good as Shador was, he's not ready yet. But I do think that he should leapfrog Dylan Gabriel. So I've got Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Shador, and then Dylan Gabriel.
You said not ready yet. Not ready for what?
Not ready to start. Regular season.
Oh, regular season.
Yeah.
All
right. Yeah. I mean, he's there's some things that still need to be cleaned up in his game, but the way he handled and was successful in just about every situation that was thrown at him was really impressive. The way he was able to make plays, extending plays, 9 offensive possessions, 3 touchdowns, good results there. Had a nice 3rd-and-9 conversion on a 10-yard run. Moved the pocket, threw on target, threw receivers open. The only thing that concerned me about that performance the other night was he had a couple of situations where he turned his back to the line of scrimmage and was running for his life. And I think in a real live NFL game, those are like 30-yard losses, and that's not good. So that is a habit that they're going to have to, break. But just overall, I thought he did a really, really good job and is deserving of some more reps here in camp.
Daryl Ryder with us. So what do you think it means for this week? I thought all along, it was Flacco's week last week with Carolina. I thought this was going to be the week of Kenny Pickett. But, we heard Joe Thomas on the broadcast, and we're going to hear more today from Kevin Stefanski live at 9 o'clock right here on The Fan, that, he could be out another week and a half, Kenny Pickett. So how does this work? Because you're also trying to get these guys ready for actual football, and this is a huge, huge week for this team.
Well, I think it's a huge week for Dylan Gabriel. He's got to get healthy, first and foremost, and then if he is able to be healthy, he's going to have to go out there and perform, which he's not done to this point. So he's going to have to go out there and perform and show everybody why the front office won't shut up about how great he is, even though, again, we don't see it on the practice field, but that's all we hear is just how great this guy is. So it would be nice to actually get tangible evidence instead of from the ears with the eyeballs. So this is a big week for Dylan Gabriel, in my view. The pressure now is on because Shador, getting the limited work that he got, was able to do that. And Dylan Gabriel's first up in 11-on-11 pretty much on a regular basis, with the rare exception of little Joe Flacco getting sprinkled in here and there. Dylan's got it.
There are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
got to show out this week, in my view, if he's healthy. And especially Saturday in that preseason game against the Eagles. He's got to play just as well, if not better, in my view, than Shadur.
Oh, I totally agree. Daryl Ryder joining us here on the show. Because it's where we're headed on this. Like, I keep saying, like, guys, we're not out of the woods. We're just stepping in him. Because if he goes out there and he does not play well, talking about Dylan Gabriel against Philadelphia, and say Shadur gets time and he does actually play well against Philadelphia, I don't care if it's against ones, twos, 13s, doesn't matter. If Dylan Gabriel's still ahead, there's going to be more questions asked about the Browns than just a couple.
Well, we'll know the answer, though. It's draft position bias from the organization. And we've seen that. I mean, that is in Andrew Berry's history here. He does not like cutting and demoting his own draft picks. And unless he just... it gets to a point where he just absolutely has to give up on him. So you're right. If you have Shadur continuing to outperform Dylan Gabriel, and you continue to cram Dylan Gabriel down our throats, that's just not the right way to go about things. And then that just tells me that your evaluation process is biased.
Well, I would look at it too, and I would say, like, hey, if you want to leave Dylan Gabriel on the roster, like, because Shador's playing well enough in this game, where I'm going, all right, one of the other two guys are trade commodity. If you can get anything, I don't know how much you're getting. Like, again, anybody who gets a quarterback injured, are they just running to their phones? They have to have Kenny Pickett or Dylan Gabriel. I don't think that's happening.
No.
But do any of them become currency? And I don't know if you would just give up on a Dylan Gabriel now. And I'm like, okay, well, he could be the third team quarterback. Because if Shadur continues to show anything like he did on Friday, I'm like, hey, he's next man up after Joe Flacco to me. I don't want to waste any time. I want to go with the guy who has the higher ceiling there. I haven't seen what Dylan Gabriel can provide, but I just keep hearing from you guys how bad he's been, not just you. Every single writer who's out there saying, like, boy, he looks lost. They keep saying he's really, really good. So I can see a fight getting ready to happen sometime next week if he goes out there and he plays poorly.
Well, here's the other challenge for the Browns right now when you're talking about having extra in that quarterback room, Ken. They need the extra. Like, on average, the Cleveland Browns need three quarterbacks to get through a season. That's on average, okay? The last 2 years, they needed four and five quarterbacks just to get through the schedule. So I'm not in, and because of the value or my perceived lack of value, and this isn't a shot at Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco, just I don't think there's a lot of value, trade value with them right now as we speak. That's subject to change with whatever may happen around the league in the coming weeks. But like right now, there's no value there. I don't think anyone is blowing Andrew Berry's phone up saying we got to have Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco right now. And that's fine. So I think it's actually smart if the Browns keep all four of these quarterbacks, because my fear is they're going to need them. I don't think Joe Flacco plays all 17 games this year. I don't think Kenny Pickett's going to play all 17 games this year. And certainly the rookies are not going to play all 17 games this year. So there's no urgency from my standpoint to pare down that room. Leave the four guys in there. That's fine. You'll waive Tyler Huntley as soon as Pickett and Gabriel are healthy enough, right? You'll go ahead because that's the reason they brought him in, was to get them through whatever preseason and camp time they needed while both of those guys dealt with their hamstring injuries. But as soon as those two get healthy, you go into the regular season with all four. You either sacrifice a linebacker, someone in the secondary. I think the smart move would be, instead of six receivers, you keep five to make the accommodation for the extra quarterback, the fourth quarterback. Because, first of all, the receiver room is not that good. It's not that deep. You're not going to stack it at the waiver wire, okay? There's nobody that's going to get waived around the NFL that's going to come in here and be wide receiver number one and lead this team to the Super Bowl. That just isn't going to happen, okay? So I think receiver is the perfect spot because you're going back to 12 personnel this year in the two tight end sets. I think receiver is the perfect room because of the lack of depth there to go ahead and sacrifice that one roster spot.
Was there anybody that disappointed you in that game Friday night?
No, I thought Mason Graham was really good. I thought Carson Schlesinger was really good. If you're looking for a disappointment, Anthony, for me it was that Luke Floria suffered a hamstring injury.
Yeah,
he has had a tremendous camp. He played really well Friday night. I mean, that extended catch there up the near sideline on the throw from Shador was a thing of beauty. So that's my disappointment, that he got hurt. And while I believe him and Lavardin, they are long shots to make this team. I think they're both practice squad candidates and potential to be game day elevations at some point throughout the season. I think that, you know, it is a little disappointing that he got banged up because things were going so well for him during this camp and preseason.
Were you surprised that Samson only carried it twice?
Yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise, but I never really viewed him as a, the bell cow back with the current situation with Judkins legal and league troubles right now. Hovering over him. I mean, running back one is going to be Jerome Ford. There's no question about that. The key is they got to keep Jerome healthy. I'm interested where Pierre Strong is going to fit in to this equation. I'm also curious that when we get to the cutdowns, you know, does Andrew Berry look outside the organization for that third running back? You know, right now I'm asking, is the third running back even on this roster right now? I don't know. And there's certainly a couple of weeks here to sort that all out. But of the things that need sorted out outside the quarterback position, Anthony, I think third running back is definitely one of them.
Daryl Ryder joining us. Do you know anything about Zach Zinter?
No.
And his status?
I'm sure, come up this morning. With Coach.
All right, because like somebody asked me, I was like, I have no idea. I didn't know he was either banged up or whatever it was.
We will ask. We can't control the answer we get, but we will ask.
Clearly, you know that. what now in the Philadelphia, because we'll get the next chance to talk to you on Friday, what do you think that they're looking for in the Philadelphia joint practices?
It's for the starters, Ken. That's where the starters are all going to get their work. So I anticipate a lot of Joe Flacco in Philadelphia in the first team offense. That's how Kevin likes to do these joint practices, especially the multiple day joint practices. And then the preseason game will be for the folks that are vying for roster spots and the rookie class.
Daryl, we started the show with John Middlecoff on a podcast with Colin Cowherd saying, here comes the circus. And what he meant by that was, now the fans are all going to be behind Shador, the national talking heads, and then the grifters. Everybody is going to be talking Shador this week. How do you think the Browns will handle that? Because Stefanski is going to get a bunch of questions today about Shador. And in reality, right. I mean, he started that game as fourth on the depth chart.
Right. That's fine. I thought you guys started the show with Super Bowl Super Browns.
We did. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to be factually accurate here.
Technically, does the show start right after the music stops? Because Owen had the clip of the circus in the open.
Discredit everything I did, Daryl.
I'm sorry, Owen. I feel awful about that. But for me, the show starts with the open. So.
So not worried about the circus, though?
No, because I don't think that there's going to be a media circus, at least
I'll make
a
media circus.
No, hang on.
This something to see.
Not today in Berea. I don't think the national media is descending upon Berea today. They might descend upon Philadelphia later this week. But I don't think that the Browns are going to be too caught up in the external with Shador. They certainly have not been to this point. Because if they were, he wouldn't be the fourth quarterback on the depth chart right now. So I don't think it affects them or their decision-making process. It will help them sell jerseys, and I'm sure that there are folks over at 76 Lugrosa Boulevard.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Very happy to see number 12 jerseys fly off the shelf.
Dale, I'm just thrilled and I'm so thankful that the Browns set him free because he was a hostage going into the weekend, according to Hugh Douglas.
That's what you think, Lima. We'll find out today if he's really, truly been set free.
I don't know what kind of negotiation was going on behind the scenes.
We'll see if he starts blanking in Morse code the next interview he does. Then we'll get it figured out. Lord.
Well, I'm sure the next time we see him on the sideline, he'll at least be wearing a Browns hat.
My dad, by the way, is cussing me out right now over the Browns.
Is he? What did you do? You didn't do anything. You're not making any decisions.
He's losing his mind. My dad is losing his mind. I told my dad would hate the show if it weren't for me. My dad hates all radio show hosts, and my phone just keeps lighting up, and it's just my dad. All right, you want me to read my dad's text when we come back? All right, Daryl, thank you very much for the time.
You bet, guys. Have a great week.
All right, I don't know about the second part, but the first part, hell yeah, Daryl! Hell yeah! I'm doing it again. Super Bowl! Super Browns! Yeah! Part of that's just to spite my dad. Just to get my dad all upset. He's listening.
What did the old man have to say today?
I tell you, my dad came to my son's game on Saturday. I had to tell my son what the old man thought.
That's pressure.
I go, what'd you think of Axel?
Reverse cats in the cradle there.
He was sitting up there in the stands. I saw him up there. Didn't go our way on Saturday. That's all I'll say. And
they're not horseshoe ready?
I mean, what do you mean by horseshoe ready?
Ready to go down there and get their ass kicked again?
Hey! These are children now. Hold on just a damn minute.
I enjoyed it. That trophy sits in my son's bedroom. He looks at it every morning as he wakes up.
And they played in the horseshoe.
Stop it. We were going to play in the horseshoe again this year, too. Not against Avon Lake, but we are going to play in the horseshoe again.
You learned your lesson.
Cowards.
Stop it. You guys are a much bigger program. I don't want to hear it.
You got 11-year-old cowards over there. I'll call them all out.
You won't even play coward. Don't you call them a coward.
To come over here and
don't
challenge
you call
me.
Couple raindrops and lightning damn bugs, you. And they pack it in for the weekend.
I'm going to start with that. So my dad, which I asked
we
my
got
dad.
30 boys, they all wear horse collars, all right?
I go, what'd you think of Axel? He goes, needs improvement.
Scout right there.
Axel's like, he really said that? I go, yep. You better buckle it up this week, buddy boy. The old man, he can be a tough one. And my dad today texts me, you Browns fans make me sick. This is during the Daryl interview. And I wrote, OFFS. What is it now? Goes, you guys make the same mistake every year. You make the same mistake year after year and can't see what's wrong. I go, what, you want to put Deshaun Watson out there? He goes, no, Deshaun should be released. I go, okay, then Shador it is. He goes, what I'm talking about is rushing for a QB and he gets hurt and you lose him for life. Play Flacco. Don't play this new kid, period. It's the old man.
All right, hold on.
I didn't say he should start the season, Dad.
There was a term that people were throwing around on Friday, and they continued throwing around all weekend. That, yes, we've seen, I referenced a Jake Delhomme performance in a preseason game. Somebody called at the first hour of the show, they referenced DTR.
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
And I had to knock that down.
Baker's first performance, we read it on Friday, the clippings, it was against the New York Giants, Saquon Barkley.
Hold on. Can I stop you there with the Baker thing? How's the Baker thing a knock?
Not at all.
I have to say, it's not. If you're giving me Baker, then I'm going to tell you back, you're telling me the Browns might be righting a wrong here? Like, we all agree.
Yeah.
Even though he admits he wasn't in the proper headspace at that time, it was a mistake to do what they did. To advocate to do what they did was a mistake, yes. All right? Guilty as charged here, folks. So, but if you're giving me Baker in his first ever preseason game, then you're telling me we're starting to right or wrong.
And people are calling Baker a top 10 quarterback.
Yes, right they now. Are.
So all that is to say is, yes.
The
yes,
tears came out. He's in tier two on Mike Sando's QB tiers.
I know. I saw it. Okay. So the number two. So the Browns.
Well, he's in tier two, yeah. not number two.
So the Browns have had great first-time performances in the preseason before.
Yes.
We probably overreact to all of them, but there's a term that was being used over the weekend. A phrase that it looked different.
What's that?
Quote, it looked different. That's what people were saying.
Okay.
Like, yeah, we've seen other guys play well, but yeah, we've seen DTR play well, but it looked different. Kenny, to you, did it look or feel
different?
Yeah,
he looked like he could end up being a quarterback. Looked different. There was a different level of, clearly there was a different level of excitement. Clearly, I think that there was a different level of, hey, this guy, he fell to the fifth round. Why did he fall to the fifth round? All right, well, it didn't seem any gimmicky. He was able to run the offense. I mean, looking different, yeah, he looks like what a quarterback's supposed to look like. He's not small. He might be a little thin, but he's not small. He looks like what it's supposed to be. And Friday was a nice start.
By the way, his arm looked fine.
Yes. I mean,
his arm, it was the throw out of the back of the end zone where he set back there. He didn't get happy feet. He calmly kind of bounced to the side, and he rifled one over the middle of the field about 20 yards away from where he was throwing. His arm looked fine.
But the old man thinks that we're going to get Shedeur Sanders playing too soon and get him hurt.
Oh,
I don't think Kevin Stefanski is going to kowtow to my sayings, Dad.
Yeah, I mean, like, okay, did the Commanders with Jaden Daniel, like, okay, you could have got him hurt.
But that's true. Now, that's interesting because I have fought the Jaden Daniels comparison with you, going, hey, this guy still fell in the draft. Jaden Daniels did not fall in the draft. But if he goes out there against Philadelphia, which you could say Carolina sucks and their second team sucks. All right, fine, whatever. But if he goes out there and he runs the offense decently against Philadelphia, you can yell at me all you want. The conversation is going to happen.
I mean, did you?
Okay. Conversation is going down.
I'll tell you what bar he cleared, and I get it. Quinn Ewers, at one point, people thought was going to be top of the draft guy.
Watch that
top
live
five.
Yesterday.
Okay, did you see that dude play? Do you want to talk about happy feet and didn't belong out there and looks like he may never play that position in a real game?
Both of those quarterbacks were lacking with a chance to drive down the field just for a field goal.
Oof.
Both chances, terrible. And then I go, I'm at my buddy's patio. We're in the pool. I'm watching the Dolphins and Bears. I got a sickness here. In the preseason of all things. My dad should be worried about his own damn quarterbacks. You should be worried about Tua. You should be worried about Quinn Ewers. You should be worried about Mike McDaniel walking around thinking he's hot bleep. That's what you should be worried about, Pop. We got our own problems with the Browns here. You ain't got to worry about that. 216-474-0092. All right, make sure you guys are listening here because Kevin Stefanski is set to join from his press conference coming up here at 9 a.m. Usually they start around 9 a.m. sharp. So we'll hear from Kevin Stefanski. Pertinent questions will be asked about where Shedeur is on the depth chart, what Shedeur could be doing next week against Philadelphia, what Joe Flacco is going to be doing this week against Philadelphia. Will Dylan Gabriel get a whack at it against the Philadelphia Eagles coming up on Saturday? We'll find out all that.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.